I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up next week on Only a Game, high school football flourishes in the once-thriving steel town of Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
Going into Friday's Game 3 of the World Series, the median ticket price at Wrigley Field was about $3,000, $2,500 for standing room. Do you think that's a little too much, even to see possible history being made courtesy of the Cubs and Indians?
Well, I mean, yes, but I'm not a Cubs fan, so I can't get myself into that mentality. I would point out it is roughly the same price as a really good funeral.
Major League Baseball worries about not having younger fans. They're restricting themselves to younger fans who have $3,000 to spend on a game.
That's really quite interesting, and it's too bad, too, because this series is a terrific advertisement for Major League Baseball.
What do you make of Cleveland manager Terry Francona's innovative three-man starting pitching rotation of Kluber, Bauer, and Tomlin?
Well, if you can get Kluber two or possibly three starts in a seven-game series, you're a genius. And Terry Francona has already proven in a couple of different places that he knows how to manage a ball club. I'm very, very impressed by this.
The NBA regular season got underway this week. Last year, the Golden State Warriors were very good. In fact, they set the NBA record for regular season wins. This year, they began the season by losing by 29 points to San Antonio. So, time to write the Warriors off?
No, but it is time to point out that the San Antonio Spurs, under Greg Popovich, are going to be pains in the neck in the NBA forever. I've decided that.
Las Vegas has said that the New York Knicks are the popular long-shot bet among folks inclined to try picking the next NBA champ. Is there anything that suggests to you why the Knicks would be anybody's pick to be NBA champion, even as a long shot?
Well, because I think a lot of people from New York go to Las Vegas to gamble.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe some sort of discount flights from New York to Las Vegas over the past
week.
Yeah,
I would look on the Southwest Airlines manifest, basically, to find out why.
On Wednesday, singer Seven Streeter was scheduled to perform the national anthem before a 76ers game in Philadelphia, and she says the team told her she could not sing because she was wearing a jersey that said "We Matter" on it. According to one reporter, contract prohibited political statements. Do you think the words "We Matter" on a shirt constitutes a political statement?
Well, yeah, I do, and I think it's something that they should allow. I don't think there's any question that it's political. Everybody knows it's political. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows the context. But I think the NBA and its attendant franchises have better lighten up on this issue because there are going to be a lot of these this year.
Charlie, there's a lot of crazy stuff swirling around the Minnesota Vikings this week. First, there were reports that the team had a bounty system back in 2008-2009 under former head coach Brad Childress. And now there have been allegations that the current head coach, Mike Zimmer, has slaughtered stuffed animals to motivate his team. How do you slaughter a stuffed animal?
Well, I mean, the evolution of the football coach is slow, but it is steady, and it does bend towards sensibility, because you'll remember that a few years ago, we had the college coach down south who did something terrible to a bull in front of his team.
Yes.
So if we've moved on to stuffed animals, you know, the levels of sociopathy in the average football coach are starting to move toward basic humanity.
Yeah, I'm wondering, what comes next? Menacing cartoon characters?
That's a very good point.
This week, Tom Brady disappointed any teams that were hoping that he would one day become their coach. He said he doesn't have the patience to be a coach. You wrote a book about the guy. Does this self-assessment ring true?
Absolutely. They're still at his parents' house. There's still a hole in the wall where he threw a video game controller through it because he lost. If he does go into coaching, it's going to be at a very low level where he can sort of put this incredible drive he has on hold. What he does after football is going to be very interesting. I think it's very close to even money that he just disappears for a while.
Kentucky men's basketball coach John Calipari has written a book, or at least he's put his name on the front of one, and it's titled Success is the Only Option. And when advised that Rick Pitino, the men's basketball coach at Louisville, had once written or put his name on the front of a book titled Success is a Choice, Calipari said, "I don't care. And if he doesn't, neither do I. And how about you?"
No, I don't care at all. I'm waiting for some college basketball coach write a book saying success means buying players.
Yeah, well, you got a long wait, I'm afraid. Finally, Charlie, Seattle Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman showed up at a press conference on Wednesday wearing a Harry Potter costume, and he told the folks, "I'm definitely a wizard." So I guess he's a wizard.
I mean, what did they do? Did they put the sorting helmet on his head?
I don't know, but it is a blow against the No Fun League if there ever
I'm surprised that Richard Sherman hasn't been fined $11 million by now.
Sherman was highly critical of NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell this week, so I guess he finally will be able perhaps to vanquish the evil Lord Godelamort.
Oh, we're stumbling over our Harry Potter references. I'm just afraid that the evil wizard will make Richard disappear for a couple of weeks.
There's precedent. You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce in Sports Illustrated from time to time. And, of course, he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you, Bill.